So I have a question for you. Have you been enjoying this forward-thinking journey through the book of Revelation? Has it been good? Should I keep going? You want to keep going into the scripture here? All right. Is it getting you excited, though, for the return of Jesus? Because that's what it should be doing. Getting you excited for Jesus to come back. I hope it's also beginning to give you a hope and an understanding of our role in what Jesus has planned. And we have a role even right now. A role right now. Jesus is revealing that we're not simply here on this earth to mark time. It's not why you're here. Rather, we're here to partner with Jesus, and we're here to participate in the plans that Jesus has for this world, for eternity. We have a role to play. Every time I read Revelation, it has me sitting up and it has me getting excited. Sometimes I stand up in the middle of studying and writing and I just kind of jump around. My family can attest to that. I'll just start, you know, shouting or singing or something like that, just because it's hard not to get excited when you're reading the Word of God, especially when you're reading the book of Revelation and all that Jesus has planned for us, the church, and for eternity. It's marvelous. It's marvelous. And so I'm excited. I'm excited because we get to be in the game. Now, I don't like to sit on the bench. Whenever I was a bench warmer, like in high school, if I ever had to ride the bench, it frustrated me. And so it had me practicing and making sure that I was prepared because I don't like riding the bench. I like being in the game. And church, we are not bench warmers. Right now, we're not bench warmers. We're in the game. And so this is going to be a theme, and I want us to be interactive with this because God wants us to interact with His Word and interact with Him. And so the first thing that I want us to come into agreement with this morning as we're launching into Revelation 4 and 5 is that we're in the game. Can you say this with me? Can you say, I'm in the game?
I'm in the game.
One more time. I'm in the game.
I'm in the game.
All right, you're not a bench warmer. You're not riding the pine, as they say. We're in the game, church. And this is exciting. The title of today's message is Scrolls, Seals, and Saints. Come on, say that one fast about 3 or 4 times. Scrolls, Seals, Saints. It's an exciting passage of Scripture. We're in Revelation 4 and 5. And as we dive into Revelation chapter 4, here's what I want you to do. I want to encourage you to spend time this next week just meditating, diving in, and getting absorbed by Revelation chapters 4 and 5. Because when you do that, when you spend time not just reading these chapters academically, but when you read these chapters from the perspective of your eyes open and Jesus-minded, you start to see what heaven looks like right now. You get to start seeing, and even if you listen, maybe even in your mind's eye, ear, whatever, start to even hear and imagine what is going on right now in heaven. We don't have to wonder what heaven looks like. We don't have to wonder what heaven sounds like. We can read Revelation chapters 4 and 5. I want you to imagine the glory that surrounds our Lord. And you can even sing along with the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures that are saying, as it says in Revelation 4:8, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Do y'all know that song, that Revelation song? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. A lot of the words from that song come right out of here. That's why it's called the Revelation song, right? They come right out of Revelation. You can actually sing along with heaven. You can actually come into agreement verbally, coming out of your mouth, what's coming out of the mouths of those who are surrounding the throne of Jesus right now. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. We jump down to Revelation 4, verse 11, and we see that they're saying, you are worthy, O Lord, our God. You are worthy to receive glory and honor and power because you created all things. and by your will they were created and have their being. Holy, 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 worthy is the Lamb. That's what's going on in heaven right now. And see, we can join heaven. You got to understand that we can participate with heaven right now. In fact, we're encouraged to do that. So there's this amazing stuff that's going on in heaven. I want you to read it for yourself. There's rainbows of emerald. 24 elders, there's the flashes of lightning, there's rolls of thunder, there's people singing and rejoicing and declaring the greatness of Jesus, but God wants more. He deserves more. As glorious as heaven is right now, Jesus is not satisfied because he deserves the fullness of the reward of his suffering. That's what he's longing for right now. After all, Jesus spilled his blood to redeem mankind, to bring people to him. He put on flesh. He stepped down from heaven. He became a man. He went to a cross. He bore the sins of the world to redeem mankind, to make all things new. Heaven is spectacular. But Jesus is after you and me. Get that in your head right now and let that sink into your heart. Jesus isn't satisfied with heaven because he wants you. He wants me. He wants mankind. And so Jesus is coming back. What he's going to do. He's coming back. He's returning in order to complete that which he started on Calvary, and he's coming back to make all things new and to remove everything that hinders love. How many of you, as you go through your day, run into things that hinder the love of God, from you encountering the love of God and knowing the love of God and seeing the love of God all over everybody around you? There are things that are hindering God's love and hindering people from receiving the fullness of God's love, and Jesus is not satisfied with that. He's not okay with that, and so he's coming back. He's returning to remove everything that's hindering the love of God. Sorry, I just saw something. Nobody saw it. What's that movie where they push the button and everybody, the memory's erased, you don't remember? All right, just happened. Men in Black. Jesus is coming back because he's tired of people not being able to receive the fullness of his love. He's tired of things interfering with his love for people. He's tired of it. And he's going to bring the fullness of his kingdom. But why does Jesus have to be the one? Why does he have to be the one who makes all this happen? Why not send his angels to do his work? After all, it's hard work. It's difficult work, and it's messy work. Why does this job fall on Jesus? Why on Jesus? Hasn't he done enough already? Revelation chapter 5 brings us the answer, why it has to be Jesus. Revelation 5:1 says, "Then I, John," this is the Apostle John, "he saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne," now he's speaking of the Heavenly Father, "he saw on the right hand of the Heavenly Father a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals." A scroll, scrolls, seals, and saints, the title of today's message. The scroll, what is the scroll? What does it represent? A scroll represents the title deed of the earth. The scroll that the Heavenly Father has in his hands right now is a scroll that gives the right to enter and to occupy the earth. It gives the right to rule and to cleanse the world from all evil so that God's glory, his perfect love and justice, his incomparable great love can be filling the earth once again. Think of it this way. So I was a realtor. I was in technology right out of college. And then after the time in technology, I stepped into a career in real estate for about 10 years. And so I would buy and sell some of my own properties. I also represented other clients. It's actually a great career. If you're looking for a career, I think real estate's a great career. You can serve people. It's creative. It was really good. It was good for me. I enjoyed it. But this is something I knew about real estate. I knew that if I wanted to go into a house and make changes, if I wanted to occupy that home, if I wanted to renovate that home, if I wanted to tear down that structure and build something else on that lot, I better not do it unless I have the deed to that property. I'm going to get in a lot of trouble. I don't have the authority. I don't have the right to touch that property, to own that property, to change that property, to even occupy that property unless I have the deed and the deed has my name on it. But once I have the deed and my name's on that deed and it's recorded, I can do whatever I need to do to make that property all that in a bag of chips. You know what I'm saying? Revelation 5:2, and I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and to open the scroll?" So the angel is asking, who has the right to this title deed? Who is deserving and capable of owning the world and ruling the governments of the earth? Who's allowed to do this? The angel's also asking this, who's worthy to perfectly and justly release the judgments on this earth that are needed in order to remove everything that hinders love? Who's going to do it just right? Who's going to do the renovation work perfectly? Why? Why does it have to be Jesus? Because he's the only one who's worthy to take the scroll and to break the seals. So we've got this scroll, and now we're starting to hear about these things called seals. It's not the kind that you see in the ocean, okay, Bob? It's not those kind of seals. Put a picture up here on the screen. This is what a scroll looks like. It's not a cannoli. It's a scroll. Jimmy, it's not a cannoli. It's a scroll. And so this is a scroll with writing on both sides of it. And the scroll is wrapped up like that, it's rolled up, and then it's kept together and sealed together with these seals. And on the scroll that the Father has holding in his right hand, there are seven different seals that are holding that together. And in order to open that scroll, these seals have to be broken. They have to be snapped. They have to be broken so that the scroll can be unrolled. And so that the plans of God can be unleashed. These seals represent those things that need to be broken before the scroll can be opened. The seals need to be broken before the scroll can be opened. There are things that need to be broken, that need to be released and removed in order for the plans and purposes that God has for the earth to happen. Verse 3, but no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or look inside. The Apostle John said this. He said, I wept and wept because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look inside. In other words, no one was worthy to take ownership of the earth. No one. John has this eye, he's up in heaven, he's looking at heaven, he's watching what's going on. He sees this scroll, he understands what it means, he's excited, but no one is worthy to open it. So the plans and purposes of God are not going to take place. No one is worthy to open the scroll. But then one of the elders said, hey, John, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed, and he is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. Come on. Are you getting goosebumps? I mean, all week I'm reading this, I'm getting goosebumps. Because we don't have to worry and wonder and weep about what's going on in the world today. We don't have to wonder, worry, and weep about the future, about how it's all going to go down, and is this ever going to change, and does God really care? No, there is one in heaven right now. His name is Jesus. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he has the authority. He is worthy to open the scroll, to break the seals, to release the perfect judgment on this earth, and to remove everything that hinders the love of God. There is one who is worthy. His name is Jesus. And he's a lion. Courageous. Courage. Remember that? Wizard of Oz? Courage. He's a lion. He's courageous and he's fierce. But we're about to read, as we continue on, that he's also a lamb. And what's a lamb? Kind and gentle. He's the lamb that paid the high price. And because he's a lion, he walks in perfect justice and mercy. Jesus, the Lion and the Lamb, he is worthy. He is worthy. Verse 6, then I saw a lamb looking as it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne, the Son, taking the scroll from the heavenly Father. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. When Jesus willingly took the scroll with the seven seals from his heavenly Father, he took responsibility to rule and to cleanse the earth. That's pretty amazing. I mean, this is the Son of God who already came and went to the cross, took on the sin of mankind. You think he's done enough? Hasn't he done enough? But Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, keeps giving and giving and giving and giving and loving and loving and loving. And so he takes the scroll and the seals, and he takes the responsibility once again to come and to make all things new. That's love. But then we see something very interesting, and I think is very exciting, that begins to unfold for us here in the book of Revelation. We see the prayers of the saints. We see our prayers. The prayers of the saints become part of the end time story. Pretty exciting. We see our prayers. You know, when sometimes we sing this song every once in a while, often in Wednesday night prayer and stuff, about incense rising. And I can only imagine what people think sometimes when they hear that for the first time and think, what kind of church is this, man? I thought, is this a Christian church? You know, talking about incense rising, what's all this incense stuff? This is directly from Revelation chapter 5, right here from Scripture. Incense rising, meaning the prayers of the saints, the prayers of the church, rising up to the throne of God, to the one who is worthy, to Jesus. And in the end times, when Jesus takes the scroll with the seven seals and he comes down to make all things new on this earth, the prayers of the saints are part of the whole story. They're part of how it's going to roll out, the prayers of the saints. In fact, without the prayers of the saints, come on, it's exciting. Without the prayers of the saints, the seals won't be opened, because we have a role to play. And our role is right now. You see these prayers. These bowls are being filled with these prayers that we're praying, that have been prayed for these centuries and centuries by the church are being stored up, these prayers that are crying out for the return of Jesus, these prayers that are crying out for justice on the earth, these prayers that are crying out for the great harvest to come are being stored up by God, and there's a day when those will be released. Released. As Jesus comes back and brings the fullness of his kingdom. How many of you know God is sovereign? He's perfect in everything he does. And in his sovereignty, he has chosen to involve us. He's chosen to involve our prayers. And we know we don't always pray perfect prayers. We don't. But he's good with that. He can handle that. But he involves us. He involves the church in his plans. Remember that we're called to be that royal priesthood of intercessors. Peter talked about that in 1 Peter. We're called to be prayer warriors, a royal priesthood of intercessors. And we've been instructed by Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 to pray for his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Sometimes I think we look at the Lord's Prayer and it's just like this children's thing, because we learned it as kids, a lot of us did, if we came to Christ early on. And we kind of treat the Lord's Prayer as some kind of, you know, little rote thing that we go through as Christians without understanding the enormity of it, the eternal aspects of it. He's calling us and asking us to pray for the kingdom of God to come. For the kingdom of God to come. And then we look in Revelation and we start to understand why we're praying for the kingdom of God to come and the importance of praying for the kingdom of God to come, because those prayers are being stored up and they're being used by God. They're part of the end times plan of what God has in store for the world. So it's not just jumping through hoops and playing church and this is big business. We're in the game. We're not bench warmers. We have a role to play, and it's exciting. So if you're in Christ Jesus, you're a saint. If you're part of his church, and if you're a saint, then you're in the game. So I want to go back to this again, because I want us to come into agreement with what God's saying here. Would you say this after me? Say, I'm a saint, and I'm in the game. Now, some of us, maybe we haven't felt like we're in the game, or we've been acting like bench warmers. But you're in the game. You have a role to play. You have a role to play. So we have scrolls, we have seals, and we have the saints. In fact, without our... Let me just jump to verse 9. Verse 9 says, and then speaking of the 24 elders and the four living creatures. Get this again. This is a picture of heaven. This is what's happening right now. These 24 elders, these four living creatures, they sang a new song. They sang, Jesus, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe, in every language, and people and nation. You have made them, who's them? It's the redeemed. It's the overcomers that Jesus just talked about in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 with the seven churches. And you have made them to be a kingdom. I bolded these. To be a kingdom and priests to serve our God. And they... the redeemed, us, the church, the saints, they will reign on the earth. Crazy. Again, verse 10 is saying that we have a role to play in all of this. I know we get this picture. We often go to this place where, you know, we're just ready to go to heaven and we're just going to float on clouds and we're going to play harps and we're going to sing songs 24/7, and that's our role right now. And until that happens, we're just supposed to mark time and just kind of, you know, God, just come, because life is hard. And we have a role to play. And it's big. And it's exciting. The church isn't absent either when Jesus returns. Are you starting to see this picture here? We're not absent. Rather, we are here as a kingdom. to serve the Lord, and as priests to reign with him on this earth. That's what the Bible says. That's what the revelation of Jesus is telling us right now. We have a role to play. So we're referred to as a kingdom. Words matter. We're referred to as a kingdom. A kingdom is like a realm. It's a territorial unit. It's a real thing. It's not a theory. A kingdom is a real thing that has a real presence. A kingdom. And a kingdom is ruled by a king. You all know the king? Jesus. We're also called priests. And we're called priests that serve God. How do priests serve God? They make intercession. They worship before the Lord. They bring offerings before the Lord. They minister to the Lord. That's what a priest does. So we're called to be a kingdom. We're called to be priests. And we, the church, will reign on the earth. In other words, we're going to govern. The people of God are. We're going to rule with Jesus as he's establishing the fullness, the perfection of his kingdom. So we're beginning to see more and more of Jesus' role as the time approaches, as the day approaches. But we're also beginning to discover our role. Scrolls, seals, and saints. Verse 11, then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000s times 10,000. These angels encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, all of these angels sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. The four living creatures said, amen, and the elders fell down and worshiped. The revelation of the scrolls, the seals, and the saints. It helps us understand a few things. That Jesus is returning. He's returning as the conquering king to rule and to reign. He's returning with the title deed, with his name on it, with all authority, to have and to hold all creation, because he is worthy. He and he alone is worthy. Jesus is coming to remove also everything that hinders love. And he will destroy evil. He's going to purge it from the land as he opens the seals. We're going to talk more about this as we continue in the book of Revelation. So hopefully this just gets you more excited for what's to come. And he's going to do all of this perfectly, because how many of you know Jesus is perfect? And everything he does is perfect. He's going to do this in perfect love. He's going to do this in perfect mercy as we get to the tribulation, as we get to all of the apocalyptic stuff that's about to happen, and we wonder why and how. We know it's Jesus who's doing all of this, and he's doing it perfectly in love and with mercy. But he's also stern, and he's absolute in his justice. He will not leave one stone unturned. He's going to do a very thorough job of making all things new. And then we're learning now. We're starting to discover as we dive in to this end times prophecy, this picture of what it's looking like and going to look like. We're discovering that we have a role to play in all of this, that we're going to reign and rule with Jesus on this earth, that we're not bystanders in this. Jesus is the only one worthy to take the scroll, to break the seals, to rule and reign. But he's going to include us in this. We also are beginning to understand that we don't leave when Jesus returns. Our final destination is actually on the earth, and our role is to rule with him. That's our role, ultimately. It's to be on the earth. Oh, it's going to be a new earth because he's got the deed. He's coming in. He's cleaning house. He's making all things new. Revelation 21, read it. It gets me excited. I love that passage of Scripture. He makes all things new. It's a new heaven. That's a whole nother topic. Maybe we'll get there. And a new earth that's coming. And we will be living with him on the new earth, reigning and ruling with him. We have roles to play in this. This isn't just about marking time for 70, 80, 90 years on this earth. This is about eternity. This is about eternity with God, being about his business, enjoying him and glorifying him for now and forever. So what do we do right now? We be the church. We be the people of prayer that, as Scripture says, are crying out for him to come back, are crying out for the kingdom of God to come onto this earth. We be that royal priesthood, those intercessors. I want to ask you to stand up even now, church. The Spirit and the bride say, come. The bride is the church. The Spirit of God and the church say, come, Lord Jesus. We're ready for you to take the scroll. Jesus, you are worthy. Break the seals. Jesus, release your justice and your mercy on this earth. Bring your love. We're the priests who are crying out. And we're saying, bring your kingdom, Jesus. The Spirit and the bride say, come. We do this now even. We say, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. This isn't just a prayer and a song right now, though. This is something we get in our spirit. This is something we wake up to, that we're involved with day in and day out. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Take the scroll. Break the seals. Occupy the land. Bring your kingdom to this earth. Make all things new. You are worthy. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. You can just start asking him to come. Just crying out to him. You're filling up those bowls with your prayers even right now. As we cry out to him, it matters. He's taking this cry of our heart right now. And he's filling those bowls up with our prayers. As he's preparing to take that scroll to come. Come, Lord Jesus. You are worthy, Jesus. You and you alone are worthy. Take the scroll, Jesus. We want you to come back. We need you to come back. You are worthy, Jesus. We know the one who's worthy. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. You are worthy, Jesus. You are worthy. You are worthy. His holy bride, for all to see.